The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
This is My Mate Bought a Toaster. Hello and welcome along. Today I've got the very, very brilliant actor and writer and what else is there, Mags? Parents.
Podcaster. We're all podcasters now.
We're all podcasters. Of course, Do the Right Thing. What a podcast that is. What a huge podcast. A proper podcast with an actual audience and everything. It's so good. I love that show. So it's the wonderful Margaret Capon-Smith. Hello. Welcome.
Hello. Welcome. I'm very excited.
Well, I'm very glad that you've agreed to do this. I mean, there's been a lot of back and forth with your people. And, you know,
they're difficult, my people. Yeah. They don't really like me to do anything at all.
Yeah, I
know.
Because
my brand is so special.
Yeah, it's a really strong brand. And I'm very glad that you're allowing me to sully it, basically.
Soil it.
I'm going to completely foul your brand during the next hour or so of podcast.
Luckily, my brand is actually quite foul.
Yeah,
it's a soiled brand.
I'd want to have a foul brand. I get that criticism a lot. I'm doing a daily podcast at the moment called Cabin Fever.
Foul brand.
Yeah, I'm doing.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and several people keep pointing out that I lower the tone every single time. Oh. And I'm like, good, I want that to be my brand. I want to be the tone lowerer.
Yeah, I think you're a bit like me. I feel like I raise and lower the tone in sort of all times. I think you have that kind of thing that people expect you to be sort of lovely.
Yes.
And so the lowering of the tone is always surprising.
Yeah, quite a surprise that you can be so far. Well, good. Yeah. If you enjoy potty humour, this episode is obviously going to be for you. If not, go back and listen to maybe the Jeff Lloyd episode. It was much more whimsical and, you know, it's probably more the episode for you. So, Max, now I should explain to the human beings listening. What you've done is you've sent me over like a wish list of all the things you've chosen to talk about. So this is a slightly edited version of My Mate Bought a Toaster. And that made me think, oh, Mags is holding stuff back. But it's not. It's because you share your Amazon with your husband.
And yes.
We don't need to see what Dan Tetzel's buying, let's be honest.
Absolutely not. It's a very private man.
Yeah, yeah. And also, if you edit Dan Tetzel out, because he also is a very brilliant actor and writer, I can then get him in on a later episode.
Well, quite. If you want to talk about a lot of historical fiction, you get that man in.
Can we do a CJ Sansom special?
Lot
is
of
that all right?
Fake swords.
Such a nerd. I love it. So we're going to dive in. Now, the first thing that you bought was in 2003.
Yes. And
it's a thing which I didn't really get into. My wife goes on about it a lot. I know. It's absolutely huge. Press Gang, the complete series one, starring Julia Sawala and Dexter Fletcher.
Yes.
He's amazing as well. Tell us, Press Gang, please. Why did you dive on Amazon and get this?
Well, it was an absolute classic nostalgia buy. I mean, Press Gang probably more influential on me than it should have been. I wore my hair like Julia Sawala's, even though it's in no way flattered me. I mean, it was just a big sort of brown pyramid.
Right.
on my head. But I absolutely loved her in this.
So tell us the basic premise. And written by Stephen Moffat as well, it should be.
Yeah, I think it was his first thing, maybe. It was certainly his first sort of comedy-ish.
Yeah.
it's a comedy-drama, sort of tweenagers watched it, probably. Mm. But it was set in the sort of sixth form. Oh God, it's so dated in a way because it's about a newspaper. Mm. And probably school newspapers don't exist anymore, do they?
I'm sure
they're online.
Well, there's probably just a WhatsApp group, isn't it?
Exactly. And it was so important, and they took it very seriously. And it's Dexter Fletcher doing this slightly questionable American accent.
Oh, is he American in this?
Yeah, he plays Spike.
Okay.
The American, straight out of Bugsy Malone.
Okay, cool. I get you. Okay,
yeah.
No problem.
Yeah, it was all sort of quite nerdy kids fancying each other and being sparky-warky.
Right, yes.
And,
in that, I mean, sparky-warky, a really well-articulated Is there? But no, but
you
that's...
knew exactly what I meant, Tom, and don't pretend you didn't.
No, but that's a really good, I mean, it's a really good novel way of saying erudite, intelligent, lots of other words that I can't access right now, because I've lost my sparky warkiness during lockdown. Exactly. But it's true, because, you know, for fans of, you know, who maybe grew up to watch things like West Wing, is this like a West Wing for kids? It was all a bit, it was pointed.
Yes,
and...
do you know, it sort of is, yeah. Yeah, I mean, they did, they covered, they, like, there was a bomb in it. There was, you know, they, it wasn't just who's stolen the sharpeners from the stationery cupboard. You know, they
yes,
sort of,
yes.
Yeah, they took it quite seriously, which I think is lovely because, I mean, teenagers do take themselves very, very seriously.
Have you got teenagers in your life yet?
No, I have a, niece who, yeah, poor thing, was just supposed to take her GCSEs and didn't, and that's all, even though obviously in some ways you think, yes, I don't have to take my GCSEs, it's sort of what you've been building to for years and years and years, and then suddenly they're just gone and you're not allowed to go, and you can't celebrate, you can't hang out.
No,
I feel really sorry for teenagers at the moment.
That is must be such a strange feeling for them, because I totally remember that from about the age of sort of 12 onwards, all they talked about at school
options.
Yeah, GCSEs is coming up very soon, guys. You've got to start thinking about these things. It's important stuff.
You've got to start knuckling down. I remember our biology teacher sort of midway through talking about uteruses, just suddenly saying, uterarum. She just said, she stopped the class and said, I just want to say, please, please don't bother with boys at the moment.
Oh,
please, can you just get your GCSEs and then worry about it?
Well, whilst was it? Do you think it was the uterus that reminded her
about
boys?
I don't know. Yeah, it was weird. I suppose that maybe. I mean, I can't tell you how unsexy biology classes were. I don't think we were all rubbing our thighs and going, "Yeah, get some of those fallopian tubes a quiver," you know. But I think, and she was completely right. And I think, obviously nobody listened to her. I didn't have to bother because I didn't have a boy look at me until I was about 18.
Yeah. No, I was the same. I didn't have, no one looked at me until I was about 24. Which
really?
Quite a surprise.
No one looked at you. Somebody looked at me.
Oh my God, it's just my family looking at me because I'm in the house with them. That's why they're looking at me.
You're quite tall. Weren't you quite tall? People,
yeah, they couldn't really see me. I was too high.
They couldn't, in the clouds.
Too far off. It's interesting, though, the reviews of Press Gang.
I didn't look at the reviews.
Well,
how
it's got the classic thing, hasn't it? It's first person says, not as good as I remembered. Seems to be, by the way, the person reviewing it seems to be the same person who taught me at school. Got to make your options. I only really have one voice available.
Yeah, quite sort of elderly.
Yeah, come on, Price, make
elderly
a choice.
Elderly careers advisor. Yeah.
English or history. Anyway, someone says, not as good as I remembered. It's nice to see this again, but it isn't as good as I remember. It was cheap enough, so I'm not too bothered. Not one of my better buys. Little sort of element of autobiography to that one. And then someone else.
I like the fact that he's reviewing his own buying history.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, normally.
Do you get
really
that a lot?
No, that self-awareness with buying, no. The thing, the big problem is when people criticise the quality of the actual physical item they've bought.
Oh, I can't stand it. Or the post, the postman.
The post situation. Yeah, exactly. It was left on a wet doorstep. The book is excellent. But because,
one star.
But, yeah, exactly. I'm going to give the Bible one star because it was drenched.
Yeah, I mean, I was sort of in love with all of the boys on the Press Gang. Yes. Paul Reynolds. Do you remember Paul Reynolds?
No, I didn't watch this programme, so I'm fascinated to hear...
Well, no, but do you remember Let Him Have It?
Have you seen that film? The Derek Bentley film?
Yes.
With Christopher Eccleston?
Yes. Well, opposite him is Paul Reynolds, who is a star of Press Gang. And is absolutely fabulous.
It was one of those things that was like a breeding ground for superstars.
Yeah, absolutely.
Much like when you and I were in Dogman in 2004.
Breeding ground.
It really was. I mean, the names that Edinburgh Kids show launched, unbelievable. I mean, you, me, Janice.
One name.
Janice Fair. I don't know who that name was. I can't think of who it might be. Out of you, me, Miranda Hart, and Richard Branch, I can't think who that name might be. So, okay, let's have a look around now. So we've got this big list of things that you've bought that you're happy to show.
Which I've been totally honest about. I really, like, I stopped myself from censoring.
Yes, years
a
ago.
A couple of
you
times.
You stopped that.
Yeah, exactly. Soiled brand.
Soiled brand. Russell's disappointing brother.
Oh my God, more disappointing than Russell. Wow.
And yet his parents would still rather talk about Soiled than Russell. All right, here we go, Mags. The Slender Tone Women's Face Toner. It's currently unavailable. Tell us about your face.
Well, not only. I mean, this was really one that I had to make myself put on this list. Okay. Not only is it unavailable, Tom, it's also discontinued.
Uh-oh.
Possibly dangerous.
There was a lawsuit.
It was, right, so when my husband was doing, before he was my husband, was doing Hollyoaks.
Yes.
You know, so I was very lonely and he was earning some money. So he bought me at my, I asked him for this. It's really expensive. It's £250.
Fuck off.
That's the most expensive. I know.
£20 now. They're £20.
What? You lie.
No, the £20.
Well, they're not. It's not available, so I don't know.
Well, it must be secondhand. It must be secondhand. Oh, it's got someone else's face oil on it. So to just sort of describe it, it looks a bit like, you know, the sort of 90s portable phone you'd have at home, the white plastic on one of those that sort of yellows within 10 minutes, even though no one smokes in the house. It looks like one of those. And it combined with really bad headphones that don't hit your ears, you put them on your jaw.
Yes, which is good, Tom. You don't want, I mean, do you want your ears toned?
No, I've got very muscly
possibly
ears.
Not.
The amount of listening my ears have to do in this house, they're very well used.
You have noticed your muscly ears. You've grown your hair over them, haven't you, to try and cover them. No, that's a very good description. Yeah, it's like a headset so you're sort of plugged in. I used to wear it plugged into the wall. I mean, I've used it twice. It's a bad buy anyway. Right. But I don't know. It might work.
Right.
It's like, well, I think other people have Slender Tones for their stomach and stuff.
Yes.
Do you know those products?
Yeah. No, I mean, obviously not. No, I've not used one. Clearly, you can see my stomach and see that I haven't. By the way, I've now renamed my stomach.
Go on.
Well, I've renamed it based on what I've been eating throughout lockdown. So my stomach is now called Gutella because it's got 80% bigger thanks to Nutella.
80%?
Honestly, I am.
I'd like to see photos of this.
Fun tubster. Fun time tubster at the moment. Anyway, but that's all fine. So the Slender Tone, so it's like one of those. Did it make your face ripple?
Yeah, it makes it sort of buzz slightly. And in fact, I think you're supposed to turn it off if it stings. But
right.
I thought, oh no, that just means it's working hard.
Right.
It's sort of like it buzzes, and the idea is that it tautens, it's not a word, your skin and gets the blood flowing and whatever.
Such cock. And it's really funny because it's battery operated facial muscle toner. And then the little white thing that gives you your readout, so your little sort of control panel. So you put your stupid headphones on that you put over your jaw.
Yeah.
And then the control panel has got a really basic digital display. And all it says, the only word that's written on the plastic is face. Right? It doesn't say anything else.
Face.
It just says face.
Put this on face.
Oh my face. Yeah, exactly. And then,
but you know what? It's not. I don't think it does anything long term. But I think it does. You know, it's sort of the equivalent of if you have a massage or something. That it does look a bit different for a while.
It's quite good reviews. Quite good reviews.
Yeah.
Easy to use, but not sure if it is hitting ... Easy to use, but not sure if it's hitting the right muscles. It's a tight fit, or maybe I have a big face.
love, sort your face out.
This is a review from
Mike. I mean, I've got a big face, so if this woman has a bigger face than me, then she might be in trouble. She needs that Slender Tone.
Yeah, exactly. A review. It's a man called Shrek who's written this review.
Well, Shrek also may be in need of tightening that face.
Don't work. Error message comes up and won't even charge. Phone Slendertone, who helped me. This item is old and obsolete, and I have to wait for them to send me a replacement unit. If that don't work, I will be getting a refund. Wish I never bought it. I mean, they could be part of the class action suit who all go to court, all have their day in court, and all turn up, all these people with really saggy faces arriving.
Flapping around.
Yeah, just like a load of basset hounds walking in.
I'm very, very angry.
All right, good. The Slendertone's women's face toner.
That is the most, I mean, I didn't even spend the money, but that's the most I've spent on anything, including furniture.
That was £300, and that, so that was the
£250,
and that was the Hollyoaks cash being well spent there.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? My husband, who was in Hollyoaks, I've given away the punchline now, but basically he had his teeth done, and I remember saying to him, look, just don't suddenly expect to be on Hollyoaks. Like, I genuinely said that.
No.
And I think within 2 weeks, he was up for Hollyoaks.
That is so weird.
It's so weird. But maybe subconsciously I thought maybe I can be in Hollyoaks if I've got a tighter face.
How did you get Hollyoaks? Was it good acting? Tight face, love. That sounds like something a sort of adult actor Lovey would say.
I've got a tight face, and then they bloody sat up and took notice.
I've just shaved my hair off. So do you think you could...
Have you?
Yeah, it's all gone.
I'd like to see this as well.
Yeah. So do you think you could say to me, don't think shaving your hair off is going to get you a casting...
Suddenly get you aliens.
I don't want aliens. I want the new James Bond. Can you say that? Because obviously...
Oh, okay. Yeah, James Bond famously with a stubbly head.
Yeah, that's what I want to be.
Tom, don't think you're suddenly going to be... I want to say Troy.
Troy?
It's Troy. Troy a thing?
What, off of ancient Greece, Troy?
Who's... You could play him.
Fine. I just want a part, Mags. I just want to act. Anything.
Don't suddenly gonna think. Yep. Don't suddenly think that you're going to get some acting work.
That's all I need. I swear to you, right, if I end up get a casting and secure a job in the next 2 weeks, and by the way, my agent, my acting agent, the wonderful Oliver, listens to this every single episode of this podcast, right? So,
Oliver, please, can you fix it me to seem like some sort of goddess?
I'm not sure saying to Oliver, please, can you fix it, is a good start, but that's fine.
Anyway. We need to reclaim that phrase.
We do. That's true, actually. Let's take re-ownership of the phrase. Anyway, so I did find myself the other day on live radio after a link. I said, after an impressive trail, I said, how's about that then? That's good, isn't it?
God.
I know, but we need to return this phrases.
I know this. Well, yeah, also, it's just in us, this stuff, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, okay, let's keep moving on, Mags. Mm-hmm. I'm quite enjoying this. I'm just browsing up and down your this wish list that you've made for me, random things you've bought. Here's the thing I really want to talk about, actually.
Yeah.
And I've actually got this on my wish list, how to break up with your phone, the 30-day plan to take back your life. Margaret Cabron Smith, I need this so badly. Help me.
Right. Well, it worked. For a small amount of time.
No.
It's a really good book, actually. And they do things like I did manage to spend a whole weekend with no phone.
No.
I don't know if you think that's impressive, but I do. Bloody impressive. Yeah.
Yes. What was it
that's
like?
That's one of the tasks.
Weren't you very twitchy?
It was quite twitchy. It was all right. It was all right. But the problem is, so I was doing quite well, and there's lots of tips they give you as to how to cut down, because it's all you need really is to cut down. Nobody's saying you don't need your phone. You do need your phone. Of course you need your phone. But we don't need to. Do you have a limit thing on your
setup? Yeah, but it's a bit like the 70 mile an hour limit on the motorway. I go in at 80 and it's just pointless. The depressing thing about the limit is I used to hit it at about 3 or 4 p.m. I now hit it at 11:30.
You see, I note every time that I hit it, and I'm sort of proud if I can get. I got to 11 last night, was it? Or a couple of nights ago. I know, really, really exciting. Whoa. But the thing is, in all honesty, I was doing quite well. And then just after I finished reading the book, my sister and a friend of mine both had really quite frightening dramatic things happen to them. And I just completely abandoned it because it's just, it's not the time to
I know.
Suddenly go, oh, I don't need to be near my phone. It's like, no, I need to be near my phone. And then, of course, all your good habits go out of the window.
Because yes.
You can say, oh, I'm just here because if there's an emergency and if I need to suddenly get out to the hospital or whatever. Yeah. And then, of course, you're on Twitter getting into arguments with.
Well, this is the thing. The number of times I sit down with my phone, and you're absolutely right, of course, you need it for the emergencies. And I've had a couple of those in recent times. Well, it's sort of the domestic emergencies. You know, the text yesterday when I was trying to read and I thought, shall I put my phone on silent? Because Beth had gone out with the kids. Shall I put my phone on silent or shall I leave it on? And the WhatsApp messages keep binging in, all these different WhatsApp groups about random shit. And I was like, I'm going to put it on silent. So I missed a text from Beth saying, incoming, Edmund's fallen over, he's really cut his hand badly, be ready with plasters. So they barged into the house 15 minutes later, and Beth thought I was going to be in my sort of St. John's ambulance bit. And I was like, oh, I'm halfway through my Philip Pensher novel. It's not happening. So, you know what I mean? You need it. Yeah. That's the problem.
Yeah. I now have a system with a friend that if he rings me and I don't answer the phone, he then has to text me with a number between 1 and 10 of how important it is that I ring back.
But you can't
do that with everyone. But it's sort of, I do feel like, but you know that there are certain people who would always put their WhatsApp message was urgent, even if it was, like my little sister, drunk a few years ago, sent me a text in the middle of the night that said, who's that redheaded singer who sang a song with a tramp and died in the sea?
Bonnie Tyler, no. Oh, hello you. My name's Tom Price.
Hello, I'm Dave Cribb.
You should come and join us. Every day we do a podcast called Cabin Fever, where we talk to loads of comedians who've had to cancel everything else in their lives, so they come on our podcast instead, don't they, Dave?
Yeah, it's an isolation podcast.
Dave, were you yawning at the start of that sentence then? Was it just a little yawn?
Yeah, it's basically the Great Big Owl isolation podcast. We'll have people on from all our podcasts, from your Rule of Threes, your Brian and Rogers, your Musicals, your Bitchins. If you like any of our podcasts, if you like any of those people, chances are they'll be logging onto the Zoom call and just chatting, because let's face it, they got nothing else to do.
Also, there'll be a quiz on the bill. All right, see you soon. Lots of love. Cabin FE83709. Oh, 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 that's our Twitter name. Bom, bom, my man bought a toaster. Okay, loads of other bits and bobs here on your Amazon purchase history, Margaret Caborn Smith. We've got The Rough Guide to Pregnancy and Birth by Kaz Cook.
Yeah.
How was that?
Yeah, it's quite funny going back through your list. And
welcome to the show.
But it's sort of, I mean, funny, peculiar. It's sort of awful how much Amazon knows about your life. Mm. You know, Amazon will be like, you were pregnant. I swear that Facebook knew I was pregnant before I did. Ooh. I was getting, or rather before I'd told anyone, I was getting sort of targeted ads. Now, obviously, I was sort of about that age, but it really felt like, my algorithms were going,
forget
you.
Bun in the oven. You had cookies in your browsers that told them. It's true, though.
Yeah, it is.
They know before you do. It's extraordinary. So this, The Rough Guide to Pregnancy and Birth, when did you buy this then? When did Amy come along?
Well, Amy came along 2009, early 2009.
Okay.
So, yeah, that would have been in June 2008. And I seem to remember it was an all right book, but the drawings were a bit cutesy. For me,
there's nothing worse than cutesy.
Nothing about pregnancy or birth is cutesy, frankly. I mean, my baby wasn't even cute, so
mine looked like a ginger man's toe when he came out. Absolutely heinous. It's true. Well, listen, I mean, we shouldn't really go into too much detail on the birth of your child, because you talk about this brilliantly.
I've done that.
Well, yeah, One Torn Every Minute. Fantastic podcast from Great Big Al.
Yeah, brilliant.
And Mags has been on that, and it's really, really brilliant. One of my favourite episodes, in fact.
Oh, thanks.
All right, good.
Glad my misery entertained you.
It was worth the pain and the tearing and the blood and the screaming and the shit to entertain me for 34 minutes.
That's why I did it.
How did you find it?
I've got to get some stories out of this.
Yeah, exactly. But that is the life of a comic and a writer, and anyone creative. Is it anything bad happens to you? Part of us instantly goes, oh, Edinburgh show.
Yeah, hello. Of course. Everything is copy, as Nora Ephron said.
There you go. Okay, cool. Let's have a look at Strictly Come Dancercise.
Oh, God. Yeah, that was another one that I was like, I'm not particularly bad at. Also, it shows how old that is. That's Karen and Erin. And yes. Both of those people have left a long, long time ago. And I'm sort of embarrassed that it was one of the things, there's a sort of chill out song on it that was the theme tune to Strictly Come Dancing, Slowed Down.
Oh,
yeah, even slower than that. And then, yeah, I think I did it 3 times.
The dancercise thing, or not even dancercise, the exercise video.
Yes,
thing.
I remember I had the Jane Fonda one when I was at university.
Right, but does anyone do them more than once?
I did that Jane Fonda one a few times. Once I worked out that you could play your own music over the top of it.
Yeah.
I mean, there is something, but it's very locked down now, isn't it?
Yes, Joe Wicks, hello.
Yeah, to sort of get out there and, well, rather not get out there, stay in there and do it. But I do an online dance class.
Oh,
and
please.
It is much, much better to when they can see you. Because obviously, like with Joe Wicks, you know Joe Wicks doesn't care if you're bunny hopping or not.
No.
You know, he cares about the numbers, but he's not looking at you thinking your technique's bad. Whereas my dance teacher will put her specs on and come peering. Yeah. And say, no virgin active. Stop doing virgin active.
What does that mean?
Be more graceful, basically.
Oh, wow. Is it just you and your teacher then?
No. Oh, my God, I would kill myself.
So is there a load of you?
No, it's a bunch. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And can you see each
other? In real life, yes, we can see. Well, the first time I did it, you know, on Zoom, you know how everyone knows how Zoom works now.
Yes.
But when she was originally trying to work it out, she didn't realise that she had to mute us all.
Oh, God.
In order that, yeah.
So the noise is just an army of...
Yeah, but not only that, on Zoom, the person who's making the most noise is the person whose picture goes big. So there was one particular woman who was huffing and puffing, and we kept getting like a big close-up of her ass rather than the teacher. So it's all like, oh, God, why am I looking at that?
Oh, that's so good. Oh,
yeah.
That's
and then cool. The next week, because it's all slightly older women in this dance class, the next week a woman managed to press something that meant a large email from the Daily Telegraph filled the screen and she couldn't work out how to get rid of it. So there's all this sort of, this happened last week to me in yoga. You have to go out and come back in again.
log out.
Log out. Go away, God. Fenella.
Fuck off, Fenella. The trials and tribulations of Zumba. That is amazing. The reviews of this Strictly Come Dancercise.
Yeah.
It's quite interesting. They're not so good.
You can't get it now, can you?
Well, straight off the bat, we've got a problem here, which we talked about earlier on. This disc is either very dirty or is mismarked and is actually a Blu-ray. Don't do history, do English. So I can't play it. Worthless. 1 star. So someone's giving the whole production, the whole effort, 1 star because their DVD doesn't work.
The wrong...
Fuck's sake, that drives me mad. Here's a good review from MW77. The hardest dance or dance fitness DVD I've seen. The moves are impossible to follow. There's tons of advanced moves crammed into each routine, while should only really have been a few basic beginner one. The explanations are too fast and quick and last only seconds. The camera angle keeps switching for no reason whatsoever, making this super hard to follow DVD even more difficult to follow. They may have designed it for trained ballroom and Latin dancers who know the steps already, rather than for an average person.
Oh, poor old average person.
Yeah.
Also, I seem to remember that when they're facing you, like, are you supposed to mirror them or are you supposed to?
Yeah.
Do you know? Like, it's one of those things that if you're yeah, it's easier if you're in a class because you can work out which way you're supposed to go.
But I'm just always very conscious of sort of getting all hot and sweaty in my front room. I just think it's a bit gross.
Yes. Yeah. It's really gross. No, it's there's something about carpet under your bare feet.
Yes.
It's depressing.
It's tricky.
It's actually why, you know, everyone's talking about, and it sounds like you're doing the same, but everyone's talking about in lockdown, they're just in their pajamas the whole time.
Mm.
But I feel like I'm getting ill and depressed if I do that all the time. I have to sometimes put some bloody jeans on.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm wearing makeup and we're not seeing each other. Yes. Although I wasn't aware that we weren't definitely going to be seeing each other.
Oh, I see. So you prepared just in case.
Yeah, but also, I mean, I could have said, am I going to be on camera? But then I thought, actually, I sort of miss putting makeup on, making a bit of an effort. It makes me feel like I'm ready for work.
Yeah,
you know?
It's a sort of facial commute, isn't it?
That's what I call it, yeah.
That's what you've got to go through, the face, especially if your face is nice and firm. It does help.
Also, yes, and you have to practice, Tom, because otherwise we're all going to come out of lockdown. Not only will we be all fat and sweaty from the booze, we'll have terrible makeup and hair, and none of us will be able to walk in our shoes anymore.
Lockdown's
I don't even mean heels, like hard shoes.
Those clogs are going to be really difficult. Really difficult. Now this is one we must talk about. I really want to talk about this on the show because we haven't had this book on before. I've read this book, Why I'm No Longer Talking to White People About Race, by Rennie Edo Lodge. What a fantastic book this is, and what a timely moment for you to have this on your list.
Yeah. And it's I didn't just read it because of the recent thing.
Yeah, I got it years ago, guys.
I read it ages ago, which makes me better than all other white people. No, it is a really brilliant book, and I think it's one of those things that the genius, like, it's a brilliant book anyway, but the genius of the title, like, that everybody is going to talk about that title.
Yeah.
And I read an interview with her afterwards that said, she was saying, I mean, the irony is now that's all I do is talk to white people about race because of this book. But it's really, it's interesting because I know a couple of people I've seen people on Facebook going, well, it seems like this book isn't for me because, I had talking to a black friend last year who said that someone was talking to her about it. And then they said, no, that book isn't for you. And she's like, no, this book really is for white people.
Yes, God, it really is.
And I feel it should be a GCSE text.
Oh, God, yeah. I went into it thinking, I am perfect. I mean, I go into most things thinking I'm perfect. I am.
Yeah, that's what we love about you, Tom.
You're right. I had a sort of slightly Lawrence Fox approach. We're lovely in this country.
We're in the liberal arts.
That's right. The whole kind of, and I live in the middle of London and my kids just, it's an incredibly racially mixed thing and it's all lovely and I'm fine and I'm going to read this and feel even better about myself. That didn't happen so much.
That did not happen. No. I mean, there's a chapter on white feminism that I swear to God, I had to keep stopping it because I realised I was holding my breath. I had to keep stopping and going, okay, back into it, and that's absolutely what we should be doing.
And it's really important as well to see it from a British point of view, because I think that one of the reasons I went into it feeling incredibly perfect was thinking, well, I'm not American. We don't have the same legacy in this country.
Yeah.
And that is a bubble that has been thoroughly burst in the last couple of years and certainly in the last few weeks. But this book really puts that, you know, it just so brilliantly, you know, I'd already gone through, oh God, I'm so desperately annoyingly woke, but I'd already gone through the Kathleen Moran thing with feminism. I'd read her books.
Yeah.
Okay, I get this. Now I completely understand it. Holy shit. And like, it was a really good moment. And this, going into this, I didn't really understand my privilege and how the default of white is just such a massive problem. And that this book was incredibly instructive on that. And I also, I don't know about you, I find it really hard to talk about this stuff because I don't want to fuck up when I talk about it, even on my own podcast, which I can edit, and I'm just talking to you, a mate, and it's fine. I can say anything, and it, you know, I edit around it.
But
I'm really nervous about. I don't want to be the white savior thing, which is a really gross when you get that sense of white savior. I don't want to be virtue signaling, or what I mean. I'm just like
absolutely. I think that is the whole problem, and I just keep saying not you, me. I don't. I don't want to get it wrong. And also, I hate being told off. Like, I really, yes, really hate, yes, it. Yes, yes. And the fact is, on this, we are going to be told off, and we should be told off, and we should be making mistakes. Like, you know, not as in we should be going onto Twitter and provoking people and trolling and whatever, but yeah, we should be trying to say things. But also, and I honestly feel sick, I hate being told off so much, be ready for people going, this isn't right. So I'll give you an example. I was looking at a clip. Somebody had, in my timeline on Twitter, somebody had said, this isn't the most powerful video at the moment. It was just after George Floyd had died.
Yeah.
And it was a black man, an actor, presumably, talking to the camera. And he was saying, and the video is called Before You Call the Cops. And he was saying, before you call the cops, and it's a really good performance as well. It's really, really well done. Before you call the cops, I want you to know some things about me. And then he lists all the things he is and what he does and his family are and, you know, his faults and his weaknesses and his, you know, prides and all of that. And I was like, oh, yeah, that is good. And I retweeted it. And then after I retweeted it, I suddenly saw that lots of the comments underneath were, hold on, what the fuck is this? Who are you? You know, how dare you? Why do we have to prove that we are good people?
Yeah.
You know, and so there's a few things like this going, no, this isn't the one. And then I was suddenly like, hyperventilating. I undid the retweet. And then I saw a comment underneath, which has really stayed with me and I think is the correct thing for me to take from this. It said, it looks like this video isn't for you. And I think that that's one of the things, like, I think that video, it was powerful. It was well done. It wasn't as simple as it wasn't him saying I'm a nice man and that's why you shouldn't shoot me, because we all should know nobody deserves to have that happen, you know? And I was thinking, well, I don't know. I don't need to see that video because I'm not going to call the cops on a random black person. But there are people who will need to see that. And I have to try and work out, are they following me on Twitter? Is this going to work? Is this going to do anything?
And the chances are probably not.
But I think it would have been an all right call for me to keep it in there and try and explain that away. But I was a bit, so I don't know if it was cowardly. I mean, I was trying to do the right thing, but possibly it was cowardly of me to do that as well. But anyway, that's just an example of these things are difficult and we're going to make mistakes.
Yes. And talking about,
but that doesn't mean we shouldn't try.
No, exactly. And talking about doing the right thing, presumably this is a topic you'll be bringing up on Do the Right Thing, right? This is perfect.
sure. Yeah, we're very hot on really nuanced, heavy material.
Send in Michael Legg. He'll be fine. Bom, bom, mommy, okay, let's move on, Max Cabon-Smith. And we haven't got much longer with you. We're nearly running out of time, but I'm getting a very strong sense of... sorry, I'm just being distracted by things. It's like, why have you... It's fine. the Zach's alter ego rainbow striped canvas slider belt. Please tell me this is for a child and not you. This rainbow belt that everyone has.
It was totally for me.
It's for you.
And again, it's nostalgic.
Yes.
I was given some jeans from a charity shop that were a bit big but really nice. And I thought, oh, well, I'll get a belt. And there's something a bit more commendy about them and something a bit pride.
Yeah.
You know, about a rainbow canvas.
But it's the nostalgia value of these, because totally everyone had these in the 80s, didn't they?
Yeah. And I got it and it was it's awful. It's the worst belt ever.
Why? Because it slips.
It doesn't slip. No, it's the opposite of that. It gets stuck and you have to almost, like, I've nearly wet myself so many times not being able to get my jeans off.
Oh my God.
Around some scissors.
Okay, so I'm just...
Because it doesn't have any proper, like, it doesn't have a proper buckle. It's just, so it hurts to do what I plan to undo.
Yeah.
And it sticks really badly.
Francis A.
The Two stars.
The fabric is strong and it will stay on well, but the belt buckle is very poorly made and low quality. It's easy to close, but very, very fiddly to open again and could get totally stuck. I'm clicking helpful.
Could have been me. Why don't I look at reviews?
Yeah, I'm going to comment. Helpful. I'm going to comment and say, hello, I'm Margaret Caborn Smith.
No, don't!
Caborn Smith.
I told you I don't like getting told off. I don't want to be dragged into a rainbow belt
debacle. I wet myself wearing this belt. All the best, Margaret. Caborn Smith. There we go, done. All right, okay, let's move on. Okay, what I'm going to do now, Mags, I'm just going to rattle through a few things as we get to the end of this episode, okay? And I just want...
Okay.
It's just kind of quick, if necessary, even non-verbal responses, just a noise will do, okay, to various things. So let's go right back up to the top of this list and let's see what we can find. It obviously lots of comedy. Alan Partridge, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Arrested Development. I mean, that's all great, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all brilliant.
Okay, nice. Kids clock, digital alarm clock, the wake up light alarm clock. This is one of those kids alarm clocks that becomes light, so the kid knows it's time to get up.
I am light.
I am the light of Lord Jesus. And they don't fucking work. My kid still gets up a 5:45 every morning.
Yeah. And also, Tom, embarrassingly, not for the kids. We got it. At the same time, we got bloody How to Break Up With Your Phone, because one of the rules about How to Break Up With Your Phone, you don't have it in the room with you when you go to bed, and so you don't use it as an alarm clock.
Oh, I see.
So we had to buy an alarm clock. But we've stopped, like, it's not a great clock. I don't know what it says in the reviews, but it says Ham Swan on it, which we did enjoy as a brand name. I'll get the Ham Swan.
brand names that have really taken off, like the Hoover.
Yes, not one of those.
I just grabbed. Have you got a Ham Swan? Yeah, have you got one of the Ham Swans? Amazing. So the Ham Swan. Hamswan is a good password or code name. Maybe next time I go to a swinging bash, I'll be Mr. Hamswan.
Yeah, my daughter recently signed up for a CBBC online game thing, and they give you a name,
right,
which is two random words, and hers was prong collar. She just said, I'm going to save up points so I can change the name.
Prom collar.
No, prong.
A prong collar. Prong
collar. God, yeah, it sounds like a weapon, doesn't it? It's
absolutely horrible. It's like a medieval torture device. Send him to the dungeon for the prong collar. No.
A friend of mine had to, I don't know if you know this, but sometimes with the NHS you get two... two words put together that's your code word for when you go up to reception.
Oh, okay.
But a friend of mine had pouch froth. And she said she couldn't say it. She went up to the reception and tried to say it and she couldn't get it out. She was weeping with laughter. But luckily the woman understood.
What is your name? Pouch froth.
Pouch froth is so gross. What a euphemism.
God, I'm going to call the episode Pouch Froth.
Yay!
Yes! Okay, let's rattle through.
Pouch froth, prong collar.
Hello. That sounds like a full pedigree name for a dog. She's called Polly, but her full name is Prouch Froth Prong Collar. She's a fine
one of the Hampshire Pouch Froth Prong Collars.
Exactly. Great hip score. So what have we got here? The gifts of imperfection. Let go of who you think you're supposed to be and embrace who you are. It's one of those, I mean, self-help books. The act of buying them makes us feel like we've been helped. The act of reading them is a tedious thing that doesn't change a thing.
Yeah. Although, to be fair, that's why Brené Brown is amazing. And she has a special on Netflix and everyone should watch it.
Okay, Brené Brown, who did write The Gifts of Imperfection. Okay, good. That's good to know. We like to recommend things. You could do something amazing with your life. Well, you are on My Mate Bought a Toaster, so that's already happened.
No. Read the whole...
Oh, yeah. You could do something amazing with your life. You are Raoul Moat.
Okay. Now, that is a brilliant book that I really recommend, but you do sort of become Raoul Moat during it. I cannot recommend it highly enough. It's one of the strangest and best books. It's the Raoul Moat story.
Oh, wow.
But it's almost in second person. You know, it's written like you do this, you grow up like this, you meet this person.
Wow.
Yeah, it takes you through the whole, like right up until he's shot, basically. So by the end of it, you have gone insane. And
so you look up and you think you can see Paul Gascoigne. You actually can see Paul Gascoigne.
Yeah.
Wow. God, that's really good.
They should have it as a virtual reality.
That would be perfect.
It would be amazing.
Stick on your Al Moat helmet and then go and get some chicken with Gazza.
There he is.
Oh, look, here we go. This feels, I mean, there's loads of great books you've got here. The Holy Bible, brilliant Ellis James and John Robbins. Grown Ups, the new Marion Keys. Saving Missy by Beth Morey. That looks good. Is that good?
Oh, my God. Well, I haven't read it yet because I only very recently got it. But I was really, I went on to Amazon to buy Saving Missy by Beth Morey. Price, yes. And I was excited to buy it, and then when I got on there, it was 99p for the Kindle, and I felt terrible guilt because I thought I was going to pay full price for this, and then I thought, but I can't just, you know, I'll tell you what, I'll give Beth £7 next time I see her.
Dude, it doesn't work like that. So I was the thing because it
really?
Was, yeah, it was 99p. So this is the book my wife
wrote. I felt bad. Yeah, and it's been reviewed brilliantly everywhere, and I cannot wait to read it.
It's quite good. It's not as good as people make out, but it's quite good. It's quite annoying. It was 99p for all of April. And yeah, you're right. A very good friend, such as yourself, were like, oh, God, is this bad? Is Beth missing out on money?
Yeah.
No, turns out no, because the fact that Amazon chose to highlight it and put it as 99p meant that it got loads of sales and it did wonders for her numbers. So if you ever see a book on Amazon for 99p, chances are that is a positive thing on the Kindle. Grab it. It means that author is getting higher profile, bigger numbers.
Okay.
It's all helping.
Okay, good.
So there you go. But I think let's finish with this because this is a nice, happy thing. In fact, happy's in the title. Happy Pet Rope Ball. Please tell me you finally got... I mean, Mags, you and I met on Dog Man in 2004. We did a brilliant Edinburgh show together, if I say so myself. 16 years later, tell me you've now got a real-life dog in your life.
I would bloody love a real-life dog, Tom, but I'm not allowed one.
Oh.
I know. The flat doesn't even allow a cat.
Oh, for God's
sake. It's really sad. So that was for my parents who were panicking at the beginning of lockdown because they managed to lose their whatever it is. What is it? A rope? It's one
it's
of those
pet
things.
Rope
that,
ball. It's a. I mean, it looks like it could ball. Be a. It looks like it could be part of some sort of GIMP sex toy thing.
I really hope it isn't because
Dad,
I
can't hear you, Dad. Dad needs a code word. Froth pouch. Froth pouch.
The good thing about, well, no, this isn't a good thing, but I think if they were into being gimped, there's no way my dad would be able to keep that to himself because he manages to tell us everything. So I'm sort of quite confident that my parents aren't gimps.
I can't go on now. I just think we have to, the podcast has to end on the sentence, I'm quite confident my parents aren't gimps. And we're done. We're out.
Thank you.
Mags, you're absolutely brilliant. I love you. Thank you for doing this.
Thanks, Tom.
Can I please tell all of my lovely listeners, where can we find you on social media? They should all follow you at once because you are fucking hilarious.
Oh, thank you. I'm MK Bourne Smith, but that's an annoying name, isn't it? MCABOURNSMITH. Or you can go to DTRT Podcast, which is the Do the Right Thing podcast. That's on Twitter, and you can find me through that as well.
It's a brilliant podcast, and I'm really looking forward to being asked on.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I'm just.
Yeah, you have been. You turned us down.
I couldn't do it. Yeah, it was annoying, but I would love to come to it. Anyway, lots of love. Thanks for doing it. All the best. Kind regards. Thank you. Goodbye.
Thanks, Tom. Bye.
I mean, I know I say this every time, but I do love my guests, and Mags is just fantastic. How brilliant was she? Do give her a follow on Twitter, and do have a listen to Do the Right Thing. It's a brilliant, brilliant podcast. That's it from me. There'll be more next week. Hope you're all doing okay. See you soon. Bye. As long as I love you, I think I love you. When I'm without you, I think about you. Please don't believe me, don't deceive me. Why do we have to part? I can't be the same always. I can't be the same always. I still love you, baby. I don't want you for the rest of my day. GreatBigOwl.com. Can't face those Twitter notifications? Forgot to watch anything but Netflix? Dreading the video conference small talk at 9? You need a news vitamin, you know. You need
The Smart Seven. It's a brand new daily podcast that puts your brain into gear. Everything you need to know in less than 7 minutes. You need the smarts? Hey, we got the smarts. The Smart Seven, every weekday at 7 a.m. Available right now on Spotify and all the usual places.